Well, praise the Lord. Appreciate you coming out on a Friday night. And again, preacher, thank you so much for the invitation this week. We've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves here and getting to know you and your family a little better as well. And you meeting your boys, I'll pray with you a little, for you a little harder now. I'm teasing. I appreciate your family and thanks to your church folk and those of you that opened your home this week or took us out to eat. Thank you for that. Food's been wonderful. And things, and just enjoy the fellowship and all the kind things that were said. And if the unkind things said behind my back I didn't hear of, that's good, but any kind of things. Somebody said one time, I've heard some good things. I said, well, I started those rumors, you know. But anyway, it is good to be in the Lord's house tonight. We're glad that you're here. And as I say, we've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Pray for us. We'll be heading out. I don't know. I may go partway tonight. I'm not sure all the way if I could, but maybe at least to my daughters and all, because I get home tomorrow and then try to wash everything up, pack it up, and head out to Iowa tomorrow night to start a meeting on Sunday. And so keep us in your prayers, if you would. We appreciate that. Doing a missions conference next week, and I love that. That's one of my favorite and all. And so pray all goes well there as well. But we're glad you're here. Thank you so much. Thank you for the love offering. I have no idea what it is, but I know this is more than what I'm worth. I promise you that. And so we thank you for what you've done. And I always feel like this thing of preaching, I ought to pay people to come and do it. And I'm not going to, but I ought to. And had preachers give me checks, I'd say, that's too much. And I'm not giving any back, but it's too much. But anyway, it is good to be in the Lord's house, amen? And we're glad that you're here on a Friday night. Whoever thought we'd spend a Friday night in church, you know, but here we are, and that's a blessing. Book of Proverbs tonight, chapter number 28. I love the book of Proverbs. And the first section, it's really kind of divided into four different sections. The first section I call the child-rearing Proverbs. And he speaks, as a matter of fact, he several times a statement, my son, or things of that matter, children. Every time in that section it uses the word children, he's talking to children. After that, every time the word children is used, he's talking about children. And so if you're raising children, those are the Proverbs you want to center in on. And then we have the life-changing Proverbs, and then we've got leadership Proverbs and all as they're divided up. But anyway, as a king had copied out things that he needed in place of leadership. But I love the book of Proverbs. And the first several chapters, as you're looking at those child, what I call the child-rearing Proverbs, they kind of flow. They run together and flow. But after that, you know, you start reading the Proverbs, it seems like it jumps from one subject to another. And you can't read it like any other book. You just kind of read one Proverbs and let it sink in just a little bit. Somebody said a proverb is a short sentence drawn from a long experience. There's a lot in each proverb. And as you read through them, they're good books. Several people will read a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters, and you get through it every month. And that's a good idea. And we used to do that even with our children. We'd read a chapter a day and then ask them, you know, which verse really stuck out to you this day. And it was a different. Every month it'd be a different verse maybe within the chapter that would stick out and things, but it's a good book to put in your daily Bible reading. It's a book of wisdom, no doubt about it. And Proverbs chapter 28, want to look at this evening. Just want to look at one verse in this. We'll look to other verses tonight, but just kind of start off one verse, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. When you find it, ask you to stand with us, if you would, as we read the scriptures. And if you're unable to stand, that's fine. You can remain seated. No one will think any different. But if you are able and willing to stand with us tonight, as we read the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that's ours once again to be in this place. And the week surely really has gone by quickly. Hard to believe it. Here it is Friday night. And it seems like it was just Sunday morning, Mother's Day, just yesterday. And here we are Friday night already. And thank you for the good week you've given to us. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people. Thank you for the attentiveness of the people. And God, how they no doubt are in a habit. It's their custom to allow the Word of God to speak to their heart. And we thank you for people like that. And God, we pray tonight that we might have our hearts open, receptive to what you have for us. God, we pray if there's any here, the preacher said it right, getting saved is the most important thing in life. If there's any here that don't know they're going to heaven, I pray tonight, dear God, that they'd make that choice to trust you as their Savior, that they could have a home in heaven. God, maybe some have been saved and drifted from you. It'd be a good day just to come back home, get back in. And God, I pray you speak to all of our hearts tonight as we deal with this subject, and a very precious subject to me, and no doubt to every Christian ought to be. And so, I pray our hearts would be receptive, and that you, again, that this might be a life-changing night for someone tonight. We just commit the service to you. Give us liberty and clarity of thought, and help us, dear God, to say the things that would help the message to be plain and clear. But dear God, I pray, though, that it might fall with unusual convicting power upon the hearts. Do that work only you can. I promise we'll give you the praise for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Couples meet each other. I remember when I first met my wife, I was telling the family tonight, we had supper with, I said, you know, that my dad had worked at NASA for Kennedy Space Center, and they shut down, they cut back on the space program in 1970, and he became head of engineering for General Electric, and we moved up to Bloomington, Illinois, and we moved to a little town called Carlock, population 300. Matter of fact, some of you used to go to Bill Rice Ranch. I don't know if you ever heard of Dr. Paul Levine. He was from Carlock, Illinois. As a matter of fact, his wife was my wife's aunt's aunt, if that makes any sense. Her aunt by marriage wasn't my wife's aunt necessarily, but he lived there in that little town of Carlock. And we moved to 103 East Douglas in Carlock, Illinois. My wife-to-be lived at 305 East Douglas, just two blocks down the road. And so I always said God had to cut back on the space program for me to meet my wife. And so anyway, I remember I got a job. I was a freshman in high school. I got a job in the grocery store there, Stevens Grocery. It's gone now, no longer in existence. But got a job there. He taught me how to cut meat and a variety of things. But I remember I was working there, and she walked in, and I saw her as she walked in. And when I saw her, I said, like Adam said when he saw Eve, I said, "Whoa, man." And she walked in, and she was, I don't know, looking at the milk or the orange juice, whatever it might be. And I saw her there, and I thought, wow. And I thought, I'm going to ask her out. And I went up behind her, and I was going to, in my most manly voice, I was going to walk up behind her and go, "Hi there." But I found that my knees were smiting one another, and man, I was nervous. I was scared. And what should have come out saying, "Hi there," came out and said, "Hi," like that. And I had asked her out, and she said yes. And I thought, man, that's great. And to ask her again, I said yes. I thought, I better marry this one. Never had anybody want to go out twice before and things. And she begged and begged and begged and pleaded, and I finally gave in and married her. And the day come, we got married, and we stood. As I mentioned, we were young, and we run off to get married. I don't advise that, and I robbed my mother-in-law of planning a wedding for my wife, and I've regretted that. Not regretted marrying my wife, but I've regretted the way we went about it. But we stood in a courthouse before a judge, and our family sat in the jury box. I always said they pronounced us guilty, life sentence. And now they sat there. We pronounced those vows, and we stood there and said those vows, "As long as we both shall live." And for many people, they meet, the man meets the woman, and the woman the man, and their hearts are one toward another, and they make those vows, as long as we both shall live. And they leave the wedding thinking ours is going to be one that lasts forever. Ours is one that is different than every other marriage. But then for a large percentage, it ends up in bitter divorce. Or for even more, they stay married, but it ends up in a bitter marriage. They stay together, but it's just two adults living in one home. And my wife and I, after 2 years, we were there, and we were separated and on the verge of divorce. And it's that time that we got saved, and God put our marriage back together again. And we decided it's God's will we stay together. And so we began to work on our marriage, but the truth of the matter is we had no love one for another. Our heart wasn't in it. And I didn't want to just go through the motions, and I don't want to endure my marriage. I want to enjoy my marriage. And a lot of times you have people that make the statement, they'll say, "I don't understand this generation and all the divorces and all." And they'll say something like, "My wife and I, we stuck it out," and act like they want some battle medal or something, like they battle of victory like you. You know, I don't want to endure my marriage. I want to enjoy my marriage. I want to rejoice with the wife of my youth. And we decided we wanted our heart in this thing, but our heart wasn't in it. How do we get our heart in this thing? When I got saved, and oftentimes people, when they get saved, you get saved, man, this is great, this is wonderful, this is the life. And you get in church, you're loving church, and you're loving serving, and you think within yourself, this is great, I'm going to do this all my life. And then just like marriage, a lot of times you find people that at one time were Sunday school teachers and at one time run bus routes that aren't even in church anymore. They've quit altogether. Or sometimes they're still in church, but the joy's not there and their heart's not in it. They're there and they're not necessarily serving like they used to serve, and their heart's not in it. And you know, how do we keep our heart in this thing? When we talk about Sunday night, that deal with the iniquities and God having first place, and man, I want my heart in this thing of serving Him. I want my heart in my preaching. I want my heart in my walk with Christ. You know, I don't want my preaching just to be an outline and a bunch of facts that we throw out that speaks to no, I want heart in it. I want heart in my marriage. I don't want to just go through the motions of what I'm supposed to do. No, I want heart in this thing, and I want my heart in it. So how do we put our heart in this thing? Daniel purposed. And then after he purposed, everything he did after that was on purpose because of what he purposed. And I want to on purpose love my wife, and I want to on purpose love God. I want to on purpose love the things I ought to love. And I want my heart to be where my heart is supposed to be. I don't want my heart to get off track. And I want my heart in this thing, my Christian life. I want my heart in this thing. I mean, just my personal walk with Christ. I want my heart in the ministry that He gives me. And even when it comes to the place, you know, a lot of times preachers will make statements like, you know, if I can't preach anymore, you know, God might as well take me home. And the truth of the matter is, if I love preaching, I love the ministry, but if something happened to me tomorrow and I'm unable to preach another message, my life is still worth living because of the wife that I have and the family I have. And even if I'm not able to preach, my life is still worth living. And I read about Joseph and how the Bible talks about when he was old and he told his brethren that he was about to die. And he talked about, and he tried to encourage that next generation, God's going to visit you, and you just keep on going. And talks about he rose up his children's children upon his knee. And the truth of the matter is, if the last years of my life is just ministering to my grandchildren, is that really such a bad thing? You know, really not. But I want my heart in whatever it is I do. And how do we do that? I want to preach on the subject tonight. And it's Friday night, and most of you don't work tomorrow. Some will have to, but so if we stay all night, it's not a big bother to most of you. And Paul, when he went to Troas, he preached ready to depart on the morrow, and he preached till midnight. So if I guess I'm going to leave tomorrow, it's scriptural to go till midnight. And y'all aren't looking real happy about any of this. We really won't be that long. I'm teasing you. We're going to try to be short tonight. We tried it one other time. It didn't work, so we're going to try it again. Probably won't work again, but we'll try it. Let's think about the heart. We read the text, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let me say this and foremost about the heart. We're not meant to follow our heart. Every chick flick that you watch, somewhere in that movie, the statement's going to be made, I've just got to follow my heart. Or someone will get advice and they'll say, follow your heart. You just got to follow your heart. The Proverbs we read said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We're not meant to follow our heart. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Not only is the heart deceitful, the Bible said it's the most deceitful thing in existence. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he said, who can know it? You can't trust your heart. So we're not meant to follow our heart, but we are meant to guide our heart. Proverbs chapter 23, turn there with me if you would. Proverbs chapter 23, before he makes that statement about not trusting in your own heart, he gave some advice prior to that in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 19. He says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise. He that walketh wisely should live. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." So I'm not meant to follow my heart. I'm meant to guide my heart. That means I'm supposed to find out where my heart is supposed to be, and I'm to guide it in that direction. Matter of fact, I'm to guide my heart in the right direction to the point that down in verse 26 of chapter 23, he says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." I'm to guide my heart in the right places to where I can give my heart wholly in those areas. I want to guide my heart towards God and give my heart wholly to him. I want to guide my heart to my church and give my heart wholly to it. I want to guide my heart towards my wife and give my heart wholly to her. And so I'm not to follow my heart. I'm meant to guide my heart. So I guess the question would be, how do I guide my heart? I mean, how do I put my heart into things where it's supposed to be? How do I guide my heart? Well, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter number 6. And I want to read a verse in Matthew 6 that I believe has been a very misused verse or misinterpreted verse most of the times when someone has quoted it or someone has used it. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21, the Bible makes a statement, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And oftentimes that verse has been read or preached on, and the statement is made, "You show me where your treasures are, and I'll show you where your heart is, because where your heart is, that's where your treasures are going to be." And that's usually the way it's preached, but that's not what the verse says. It doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasures will be. But it says, "For where your treasure is right now, there will your heart be also." I guide my heart with my treasures. Wherever I put my treasures, that's where my heart is going to be. "For where your treasure is right now, there will your heart be also." So I guide my heart with my treasures. Now, somebody said, "Well, what are treasures?" And usually we talk about treasures and somebody thinks money right off the bat. It's not just money. My treasure is my time. My treasure is my thoughts. My treasure is my energy. My treasure is my efforts. And wherever I put my treasures, that's where my heart is going to be. Wherever I put my thoughts and my time and my effort and my energy, I'm guiding my heart in that direction. So be careful where your treasures are, because your heart is going to follow. And then you think you're following your heart, but you're guiding. Let me illustrate. A man goes to work. He meets a lady at the workplace, a woman at the workplace. They begin to pick up a conversation one with another. Pretty soon he begins to think about her. You know what's happening? He's putting his treasures there. They begin to talk more together. And he begins to invest his time. He begins to invest some thoughts and in that direction. And he's putting his treasures there. And what happens is his heart follows. And then he'll make the statement, "We just fell in love." No, you didn't fall in love. You guided your heart in that direction because that's where you put your treasures. A lady gets on the internet, begins talking with some man on the internet she's never met. And they begin to carry on a conversation. And he appears to understand, and she can unload her heart. And she starts to invest some time there and starts to invest some thoughts there. And you know what's happening? And we've seen couples, I mean, even in the church house, where women have got up and left their husbands and left their children and run off with some man she met on the internet somewhere. And she makes a statement, "I've just got to follow my heart." No, you're not following your heart. You guided your heart there because you put your time and your energy and your efforts, you put your treasures there, and where you put your treasures, your heart followed, and you think you're following your heart. No, we got our heart. So what I need to do is figure out where my heart is supposed to be and put my treasures there. I ought to determine, the Bible said, "My son, be thou wise and guide thine heart in the way." So I need to find out, what is the way? Where is my heart supposed to be? What's the path I should take? Where should my heart be? And put my treasures there, because where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. Even if my heart is not there, my wife and I, we determine our heart's not in this thing. But we're going to go ahead and put our treasures in this thing. And you know, after a period of time, we started putting our thoughts there and our energy there and our effort there. And over a period of time where we put our treasures, our heart followed. And we've got a marriage now that our heart's in this thing. And I want to keep my heart in this thing. So I've got to continually be putting my treasure in it, because that's where I want my heart to be. So I got to think of where my heart is supposed to be. My heart is supposed to be toward God. My heart is supposed to be towards my church. My heart is supposed to be towards my wife and family. My heart is supposed to be towards lost souls. So that's where my heart is supposed to be. That's where I need to put my treasures. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What comes out of the heart is dependent upon the treasures that are there. You guide your heart with your treasures. And you can have good treasures or you can have evil treasures. You can put your time and effort and energy in something that is good, or you can put it in something that is evil, and out of your heart will come either good or evil, all based on where we put our treasures. It's a treasure that guides the heart. The word treasure carries a meaning of a deposit, a down payment. And the deposit is placed there because this is something you want. This is something you're seeking after. You're placing this there because you have an interest in obtaining this. It's also a word which means to lay prostrate, or it means to be all in. It means I'm willing to invest in this thing, a treasure, all in. It's more than just your time, it's precious time. The word treasure also carries a meaning of something precious to you. You can have good treasure, you can have evil treasure. Your time can be good or it can be evil. Your thoughts can be good or your thoughts can be evil. If my thoughts towards my wife are only evil thoughts, my heart's not going to go towards her, because with evil, the evil treasure that's there, evil comes out. So I've got to put the precious thoughts and the precious time into places where my heart should be. Let me illustrate. My heart should be towards God, right? And your heart should be so good. So what I need to do, if I want my heart in this thing, in my walk with God, if I'm just going through the motions but my heart's not in it, then I've got to place my treasures there, my thoughts, my time, my energy, my money, my efforts. It's not just a matter of showing up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, going through the motions. No. It's not just spending time, but it's precious time. It's time where I'm all in. It's time where I lay prostrate. It's time where He has my full attention while I'm there, and I'm there to meet with Him. The prayer that He talks about, you enter your closet and you shut the door. It's a picture not only of shutting the world out, but shutting God in. God, I'm not just here to go through motions. I want to meet with You. I want this to be precious time. This is my treasure. It's not just a list I read down going through the motions. It's not just time I spend, but this is precious time I spend. It's not time I regret spending. It's time I want to spend. For where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. So I put my energy in this thing and serve Him. Find a place to serve. Obey His will, serve Him. And it's not just a matter of serving Him, but with joyfulness. Pleasant serve. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy 28, verse 47, 48, He says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. He didn't say because you didn't serve the Lord, but He said because you didn't do it with joyfulness and gladness of heart. He wants us to be excited about this thing and our heart in this thing, that we want to do this. The money that I give, you know why I said to give the first fruit? Because it's to be a treasure. It's to be something precious. It's not something we have left over that we throw in. No, He gets first because He's not really after our money. God doesn't need my money. An offering is not merely a way of raising money. It's God's way of raising children. It's God's way of getting our heart. He loves a cheerful giver. I've said often to our people, God loves a cheerful giver. We'll even take it from grumpy folk, though. But He loves a cheerful giver. You know, you'll reap according as you sow, and if you give, God blesses the gift. But if you can give cheerfully, God blesses the giver. He loveth, or could I say this? He loves on a cheerful giver. Yeah, I can give, and whether I'm happy about it or not, you give and he'll give. He blesses the gift. But if I can have my heart in this thing and say, you know, I'm doing this. This is not just something I'm doing. I want to invest in this. This is my treasure. I joyfully do this because I want my heart to be here. And the purpose for doing this is not just because God said do it, though that's a good reason. No, I want my heart in this thing. And so I joyfully do this because this is a deposit. I'm guiding my heart. It's more than putting money in a plate. I'm guiding my heart towards God. So this is exciting to me. Yeah, my thoughts. Thinking of his goodness, his grace, his long-suffering. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, we talk about be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I emphasize that verse a lot to our people. You know, we go and pray and we ask God for things, but he said every time that you ask for things, you ought to do it with thanksgiving, which means you ought to take some time and stop and begin to thank God for some things because it'll change the way we think. We'll stop being reminded about God's goodness and all the things that God has done. And instead of maybe just throwing out our problems that are there, we end up thinking, you know, God, he's a good God. And the time that we spend, the thoughts that we have, he goes on to say, if you do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Make it positive things we're thinking about. When we think about God, he's a good God. You know what I'm doing? I'm guiding my heart towards him by thinking about him through the day. And even studying the Bible. It's not just a matter of, well, I've got to read so many chapters today and get this done. No. I study to show myself approved unto God. The reason I'm studying, God, I want you to speak my heart. I want to be approved to you. I want you to be pleased with my life. And I want to be a workman that's not ashamed. And I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to know what you have to say. And if I study to show myself approved, not others disapproved, and if I study because I want to be a better workman, speak to my heart, God will help me to rightly divide the word of truth because I'm studying for the right reason. No, now I want my heart in this thing. So even the study time, no, it's not just something, it's not just time that is spent. No, this is precious time because I'm looking for God to work in my heart. Where I put my treasure there, my heart soon follows. My heart should be toward my church. So I ought to place my treasures there. Now, y'all think about the church a lot. Your thoughts, how blessed you are to have a good church. There's a lot of towns. If you do any travel, there's a lot of towns across this nation, a lot of cities that do not have a good Bible-preaching church. Bunch of churches set up, a lot of religion. But as far as those that will stand and preach the truth, they're getting fewer and fewer. You ought to thank God you've got a church you can come to where you've still got a man of God that will open the Bible and preach scripture to you. You ought to thank God you still got a church that sings the old songs. You ought to thank God you got a church that still preaches on holiness and living for God and pleasing God and things of that matter. You ought to thank God you've got a church like that and thank God for your pastor and ask God to bless him and keep his heart close to God and give us what we need and put your thoughts and that your thoughts towards your church ought not be in complaining or fault finding or no. It ought to be in, man, we're blessed and God's been good to us and because I'm investing my treasure because I want my heart to be there. Yeah. Put my time there, serving the church, visitation. VBS is coming up, I hear. And to get involved in it, faithful to the services, put my energy there, the work days, whatever it might be, invest money in it, and there's things that are needed. I mean, No. You're guiding your heart with your treasures. Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. My heart should be towards my wife. So that means this, the thoughts that I have, they ought to be the pleasant thoughts. She's sure been a good one, stick with me for 43 years. Yeah. Smelly feet and everything. Yeah. I've always said, you know, when I come to somebody's house, the man, he's the man of the house. You got rules in your home, I'll follow them. If your rules are to take your shoes off at the door, I'll take my shoes off. Say about 2 minutes, you'll be begging me to put them back on, but that's the rule, I'll do it. So I need to put my treasures towards my wife. I need to think about her throughout the day. And again, good treasures. Out of the good treasures of the heart. We've all got good qualities. We've all got bad qualities. And you can major on the good. You can major on the bad. But the good thoughts, put my thoughts towards her. How blessed I am to have a wife that will follow me wherever God leads. And I mean, our whole ministry has been starting churches or taking ones that are about to fold and build them back up. We've lived in 3,000 square foot homes we've owned 3,000 square foot homes that had, you know, a big loft, a living room. We had an 18 foot Christmas tree that would stand up inside there and library. We lived in trailers where the bathroom was falling through when you took a shower. You could see the floor on the ground on the outside and move from one to the other. Or whatever it is that we said, I think God wants us to go here. She was always willing to say, okay. Okay. Man, I'm blessed. And so my thoughts ought to be, how can I be a better husband? How can I love her better? How can I be a better husband towards her? How can I do better? I'll invest time. I mean, spending time together, precious time, treasure time. Not just doing things for her, but doing things with her. We often have couples in and they'll make statement. The woman will say something like, well, I just don't feel like you love me anymore. And he'll say, what do you mean I don't love you? Why do you think I do this and this and this and this and this? And she'll say something like, yeah, I know you do a lot for me, but I just want to sit on the porch and hold hands. I just want to sit on the couch. I just want to go for a walk. And what she's saying is, I don't want necessarily all things for me. I want you to do something with me. And by the way, that's what God wants as well. In Ephesians, he told the church, they labored. He said, but you've left your first love. God doesn't just want us doing things for him. He wants us doing things with him, that our heart is there. And doing things with her, spending time together. My energy, I mean, planning things and planning dates and planning anniversaries. And I'm already working on our 45th anniversary in 2021. And working on our anniversary of 2020. Our anniversary is in January, so we're kind of limited in places we can go, but already working on those things. We had our 40th anniversary. I am the worst at keeping a secret from my wife. If I buy her a Christmas present on December 5th, she gets it on December 6th. And then I got to buy her something else. I'm just the worst at trying to keep. I'm excited about giving. I'm just the worst. But on our 40th anniversary, I really pulled a big one off. I said, what would you like to do on our 40th? And she said, I'd really like to have all of our children together on our 40th anniversary. I said, well, honey, it's in January. We all get together at Christmas time. They've all got jobs, and they all live in different states. Kind of hard to work that out. I don't think that could be. What else would you like? She said, well, if I can't have that, I'll take a cruise. I said, what else would you like? And she said, oh, just whatever. You just surprised me. So I started working. I'd rented a house just south of Branson. And God just blessed. There were several meetings I was able to preach. I'd put the money aside. And every time I'd get a little, I'd do something a little more and build up. And I'd rented an 8-bedroom, 8-bathroom home just south of Branson. And all the children were able to take and come. Our oldest daughter wasn't able to because she gave birth to a baby 2 days after that, so we kind of excused her. But they all were able to come for the anniversary. She knew nothing. She knew, my wife knew nothing about them coming. And then I'd bought her a new diamond ring, full carat diamond ring. And I was going to propose to her again, and we were going to renew our vows. There was a place we ate at there that's in one of the motels, and I'd ask a local where the best prime rib was in Branson. They told us about this local, an old ex-Major League Baseball player had owned it. And he passed away this last year, but his son runs it. And so we had ate there, and so I called the hotel, and I said, I'd like to get this restaurant. I said, our whole family's coming in. My wife and I are celebrating our 40th anniversary, and we want to get, she doesn't know the family's going to be there, but I'd like to get in and you had the best prime rib. We loved it. She said, well, honestly, she said, the restaurant is not open during the week, during the winter, just weekends. And our anniversary was on a Tuesday. And I said, oh, I said, we really loved it. She said, preacher, just can I call you back in a little bit? I said, sure. She called me back about 2 hours. She said, they've agreed to open the restaurant for you. and said, not only did they open the restaurant, they're going to give you your own private room. And said, they're known not only for the prime rib, but the fried chicken. And they're going to give you a prime rib and fried chicken buffet and all they can eat. And anyway, the price and dessert and drinks, everything included. And the price of the buffet was less than the price of a prime rib dinner. And we got the room and all too. And so, oh, that's great. And then she said, hey, by the way, do you have anywhere yet where you're going to renew your vows? Because I told her everything I was going to do. I said, no. She said, well, we've got a room right down the hall that'd be perfect for that. If you'd like to use it, said, we won't charge you anything for it. And I said, that would be wonderful. That'd be great. And so we load up, and I'm taking my wife for an anniversary, and we're heading down. She said, are we going to Branson? I said, no, no. And we passed Branson, and we went down near the lake that's down there, whatever that's called. I won't say Ten Killer, but that's in Oklahoma. Tanacomi, is that what it's called down there, south of Branson? Anyway, we went down there, and she said, are we getting a riverboat? It's in January, because we always talk about getting a riverboat and going down. And she said, it's kind of cold for a riverboat. And I says, well, if it's got a heater in it, we'll do okay. And then I pulled into the place where the houses were, and she said, what are we doing here? These are houses. They're huge. And I said, yeah, no. And I pulled in. I said, look for this number. And she said, you got us a big house? And I said, just look for this number. We found the number, and I pulled in, and I said, this is it. And she said, well, there's people inside there. And then she saw our daughter, and she saw our son. And she said, that's Sarah. And she slapped me. I mean, all this work, and she slapped me. So we went in, and she knew nothing about the renewing of the vows, and we had the fellow set up does all the couples retreats there in Branson. Steve Ruddick was going to come down and renew our vows for us, but we had a big ice storm that hit that night. He wasn't able to. But I told her, we got the place. We're all eating as a family, so we went up there to eat, and I'm dragging my feet because we're going to renew our vows before we eat, and so I'm dragging my feet so everybody can get there and get ready. And I'm texting, are you ready yet? Not yet. And she's pushing me. Come on, honey. Come on. Why you got to be late? Come on. They're all going to be there. And come on. And so I'm kind of, are you ready yet? Not yet. Not yet. So we get there and they're still not ready. So I said, I got to go to the restroom. So I went in the restroom. Are you ready yet? No, not yet. Are you ready? Not yet. And so I'm in there, and she got so worried about me being there, she sent somebody in to check on me. My husband's in there, and he's been there a long time. Will you go check on him? And so finally we come out, and she said, it's about time, you know. And we're going upstairs, and I said, you know, before we go to the restaurant, I want to look at this room down here. I said, honey, come on. Everybody's in there waiting. And so we opened the door and got in the room, and my children are all up there. Her mom and her dad are sitting back there. And I fell to my knee, and I got the ring out, and I said, would you marry me all over again? One of my children said, Dad, what are you going to do if she says no? I said, I never thought about that. She might say, you mean there's a loophole here? There's a way out? And I said, hopefully she won't think of that either. And so I knelt down and said, would you marry me all over again? And she started crying. She said, oh, yes, oh, yes. And I said, good, would you help me up? And then I walked her mother down the aisle, and her dad for the first time walked her down the aisle. My Steve Brunner wasn't able to make it because I stormed, so my boys, which have also been pretty, they all had a part in the service. It just went wonderful, wonderful. Then we went and we had the meal together, and it was just wonderful. And after that, I handed her an envelope. She says, what's this? I said, this is your tickets for a cruise. And she said, you are kidding? I said, no. So I said, well, preacher, why all that? I'm guiding my heart. Somebody said, if that was your 40th, what are you going to do in your 50th? I'm praying Jesus comes back for the 50th. There's just no, I don't know any way to top it. And, you know, that was all things one by one that God provided the extra. We were able. I'm not talking about going in debt to do something. I'm not talking about being crazy. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do things together. Yeah. She'll write me little notes. I find them all the time. I open my suitcase, there's a note. I'll open my computer bag, there's a note. I put on my suit and put my hand in my pocket, and there's a note. I would, you know, most of my life's been bivocational because we've taken small churches and or started churches, and I often would go to work, and every day she'd pack my lunch. Every day somewhere in that lunch there'd be a note. One day I didn't find one. I was kind of like, what's the deal here? What did I do to upset her this time? And take a bite of my sandwich. Yeah, she'd put it on the sandwich right there. Why does she do that? She's guiding her heart. We want our heart in this thing. If you don't keep putting your treasures there, little by little things drift, and somewhere down the line you think, what happened? Where'd we get here? So if I want my heart to, in this thing, then I've got to continually put my treasures there. And if I want my heart towards God, I've got to continually be putting my treasures there. If I want my heart in the church, I've got to continually be putting my treasures there. If I want my heart towards my wife, then I can't be thinking about someone else. No, my thoughts have got to, my treasures have to be there because I'm guiding my heart. Our heart's to be towards lost people. You know that whole message on laying at the gate, you know what that does? We're investing our time, our efforts, and you know what we're doing? We put our treasures there. The psalmist said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. The time was spent before the heart was in it. Where your treasures were invested, the heart followed, and you got a burden. Because people are lost. Statement was made tonight, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And the only way to get to heaven is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we have saved people. We've lost that thing of our heart being towards lost people. So I got to put my treasures there. I got to go out visiting. I got to go out door knocking. I got to start praying for somebody. Invest my time, put my energy, my efforts, money, giving towards missions. Why? Because where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. Preacher, we've just fallen out of love. No, you left your first love. You left it. Because when you started off, you were putting treasures there. And you guided your heart. Preacher, there's this man, he just seems to care. No, you're not following your heart. You've guided your heart in an area where it ought not be. Preacher, there's this lady, and we didn't mean for this to happen. Well, I tell you what you've done, though. The more you put your treasures there, you've guided your heart in that direction. And it may be tonight that you've been guiding your heart in the wrong direction. God has got your attention in time before you made a mess of your life. That you can stop and say, dear God, my heart didn't just go there. I've guided it there. Help me to stop and realize where my heart is supposed to be. And start putting my treasures there and guide my heart where it's supposed to be. And then we can totally, when we put it where it's supposed to be, we can totally give it. I'm all in with him. I'm all in with my wife. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get our heart in this thing. Father, again, we thank you for your Bible. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. Thank you for just the simple truth that's found in guiding our heart. And dear God, when I first read that, I thought, how do I guide my heart? How do I put it where it's supposed to be? I mean, it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? How can I guide something like that? But Jesus said it, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So help us to put our treasures where our heart needs to be and guide our heart in the way. And for a period of time, it may just be putting our treasures, but over the course of time, our heart will follow. For where our treasure is right now, currently, there will our heart be also. Help us to guide our heart towards you, towards our church, towards our spouse, towards our family, by putting our treasure.